Hey, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Good, good, good. Hey, for those of you guys who don't know us, I'm Tyler Jagan. I kind of lead up spiritual growth around here. And
I am Justin Faniff, and I have the privilege of leading the children's ministry here at River Run. And we're super excited, Tyler and I, to be up here with you guys to talk about something that I think is just so pivotal in who we are as Christ followers. And really kind of just hash out, you know, or kind of expand upon something. And Mitch did a great job talking about kind of salvation and baptism and those kinds of things over about a month ago. And we wanted to really kind of push in on part of that with this idea of DTR. Now, I know that in the last week or so, when it was in the program, I had a lot of people coming up to me and being like, DTR, what is DTR? What is that? We're in the South. I know what DRT is. That's dead right there. But what's DTR? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so DTR is it's just short for defining the relationship. It has to do with, you know, with you in a relationship with somebody else. It kind of goes like this. It's when you meet somebody and you really like them and you hang out and you start doing stuff together and you're beginning to think, you know, this might be like girlfriend material, you know. I and it seems like maybe perhaps we are, maybe we should take that next step. And so DTR is defining the relationship. It's kind of when you kind of go, you know, so what are we? Are we like boyfriend, girlfriend? And you kind of stick yourself out there because you're hoping that they would go yes instead of yeah, no, we're just friends. But
you get friend zoned.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get friends.
Yeah. You do. So in the context of what we're talking about is really about defining the relationship with God. That sometimes it's important for us to have that DTR with God. But before we kind of get into that, I'm just kind of curious. Have you ever had a DTR with your wife, Morgan, you know, before you guys got married or anything like that?
Probably. Yeah. You have to ask her. No, yeah, we definitely did. So as we, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Look at how
pretty
look at
good.
How,
look at that.
Look at how GQ I look right there.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm like, what is that bird doing over there? Anyways, so, yeah, you know, before, as we were kind of first talking, Morgan and I, you know, before kind of that big day that we think of as the to kind of define the relationship with the wedding and all that kind of stuff, you know, we had that time, or a couple times. One was, there was just a night where we ended up staying up all night talking on the phone, and it was right towards the beginning, and it was just kind of that moment where we were like, for both of us, that just really felt, there's something to this, there's something going on. We got into every subject, both biblical and non, and just, you know, really just kind of went through. We ended up talking all night, which was very Hollywood. It was great. Ironically, I was in Hollywood at the time. But so I got some sleep because I was on the West Coast. She got no sleep because she was on the East Coast. But it was great. It was an amazing time. And so that was really kind of a big moment. And then the other one was, you know, I was actually planning, so I was there with a friend, and then later, after summer, I was planning on going back out to Hollywood and L.A. and trying the acting thing. And you know, the more that I was with her and talking to her, the more I was like, I don't want to go cross-country and try and do the long-distance thing, and I just want to hang out with her. I want to be with her, you know, and so Wilmington in North Carolina has a little bit of some movie stuff and some studios and stuff. So I was like, well, that's easy. I can do some stuff there and then I can be with her and I can be closer to her. So that was kind of a huge moment too of moving down there and she grew up there. And so just being closer to her and really kind of changing the course for me or what I thought, you know, what was going to be the case. So those are kind of two big moments for me.
What was your ultimate DTR? I mean, when did you define that relationship by getting married to her? When did you guys get married?
So we got married July 28th in 2007. So and July 28th will be 10 years for
wow,
us.
Wow, big one.
So,
I didn't know that. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, congratulations.
And that was a really big, it was a big moment, apparently, you know, they tell you. But again, I think there's those moments that, you know, even get up to that point. But yeah, it was... It was awesome. It was really amazing. It's been obviously amazing since and stuff. What about you and Kimberly?
Yeah, I met Kimberly my freshman year in college, and we really kind of got to know each other.
Hold on. What? Who's that guy with hair?
Yeah, that is what I call, you know, you talk about acronyms, BB. That's BB. There's BB and AB in my life. There is, you know, just like BC and AD. BB yeah. is before bald, and AB is after bald. So this is in the year BB when we got married. Goodness gracious, it'll be 22 years at the end of this year.
That's awesome.
So,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
So, yeah, this is before we had kids, I had hair and stuff like that. But anyways, we met my freshman year in college back at Texas Tech, and we met, and we really hit it off at the end of that spring semester. Now, she is, what was that? That was not me. Was that you? Okay.
It's in the front row.
All right. Reel it back in. So we got married. We're not married. We started getting to know each other my freshman year in college. But at the end of that, we were just beginning to hit it off. But summer came. And so she went back to Kansas City, where she's from, and I went back to Houston. Now, for you young people, that's not a big deal. But for us back in 1992, we had no FaceTime. We had no internet. When we called, it was very expensive. It wasn't free. And so we had to write these things that we used to call letters.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to put them in these little white, you know, things yeah. called envelopes. And we would put them in there, and we put things called stamps. And then we'd go to a place called the post office, and for somehow they would get it over there, which is really amazing. Like the picture that you saw of us when we got married, that was taken by a digital camera. Mm-hmm. But it was actually a digital camera of a filmed photograph because we didn't have digital cameras back then. So that's why it's all kind of
very nice.
Grainy. But as far as the DTRs with Kimberly and I, we became friends. We got back together after that summer. And we were really, really good friends. I really wanted to be her boyfriend, but I'm kind of chicken. So having the DTR, I was like really kind of scared because I really thought, man, I could just totally ruin this if we had this DTR. And she just kind of goes, yeah, no, I'm just going to be friends. And we had to talk about this last week. And she goes, man, it's a good thing you didn't have that DTR because I would have told you now we would have just been friends. Because it took her a while to, you know, to grow into maturity and wisdom by what she said, yes, I love you, and I will become yours. She was in the first service, so I can say anything I want in that one. In that
You're in the clear.
Yeah.
They're not
yeah.
recording this at all.
So that's kind of what it was with us.
That's awesome, man. That's very cool. So today, I think it's a great – I think stories are so important, and they can relate to other people. You hear somebody that has a similar story to you, and it can really just speak to you. But I think it's awesome to kind of think about, you know, our stories, look back when it comes to that, because today we want to really look at, you know, kind of getting up to that point of that wedding day and you know – as we kind of relate it to baptism, that really that defining moment. Obviously, we have the salvation, you know, you're saved and everything. And like we said, Mitch does a great job. If you guys want to look that up, about a month ago, he kind of really walked through that and did a great job. But then really taking it to the next level of defining that relationship publicly, coming before a bunch of people and saying, hey, I'm a Christ follower. I'm going to do this. I want you guys to come with me. Hold me accountable in this relationship from this point on. It's not just a pinky swear. This is a covenant that I am making with Christ, that I am going to follow him. I am doing this. Much like on our wedding day, we're bringing friends and family around, right? There's been a lot of planning, if you're not in Vegas. And so this huge build up to this point. Well, a lot of times we can have also some misnomers. You know, we can have some, oh, well, when we think of wedding day, it has to look like this, and we walk out of the church, doves have to fly by, and like, you know, we get all these different things, and it's got to cost X amount of money, or it doesn't count, or, you know, whatever, like, we've got all these different things, or what does it look like afterwards, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, there's somebody else that I think of when I think of kind of being confused about what maybe baptism is, because we've got some of those similar questions. So I want him to kind of show you his confusion with what baptism is.
No, Mark, been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delbert, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
So I think Delmer might be a little confused as to exactly what baptism means. And I think, you know, he's got a very kind of him approach to baptism, and it's for him, and oh, I'm in the free and clear now. And really what we want to do is look at it today as, no, it's that defining the relationship moment, right, where you're putting on that ring, okay, and this ring doesn't mean that I'm married. There's other things that go into that, but it does represent that I am married to everyone else, you know, to those people that I see, and it can be that symbol, much like baptism is that symbol of how we have been dead to ourselves, dead to this world, and alive in Christ. So now I'm curious, for you, you know, what was your baptism story like, or what has it been like for you kind of on that journey?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, a lot of us just have different thoughts in what baptism means, or what it even looks like, or even the ceremony looks like. And so, you know, you saw there with Brother Where Art Thou about that whole baptism scene. And in 2 weeks, we're going to do a baptism service here, just celebrating all the people who made that decision to be baptized. So we thought, because of Brother Where Art Thou, we thought it would be really cool if all of you guys wore white and you all sang the song, Let's Go Down to the River. And
in perfect harmony, right?
Harmony. And so it's going to be, and we're going to go to
Thursday.
The Econ Lakahachi to do it. So, no, we're not. You know, but sometimes we get all these certain ideas of ceremonies and ideas about what baptism should look like and all of those sort of things. And so what we thought we'd just share our story a little bit and just kind of give you an idea. Like he said, Mitch did a great job just talking about the more of the theological side of baptism and everything. What we want to do is we want to talk to you about the relational side of it, because there's a deeply relational side to it. Like, you know, for me, I was baptized as an infant, and at least I was told that. I don't remember it. And so I grew up in the church, and we went to church every single Sunday, but it was between my sophomore and junior year. I was at a camp, a Young Life camp in Colorado, and there was a person there who just opened up scriptures to me. First time ever. I got into church my whole life and just opened up scripture, right, you know, and just started pointing out verses, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I just, you know, I recognized, it was no doubt, I'm not perfect, you know, I recognize I fall way short to God's glory. But no one told me that in church. It's kind of weird kind of thinking about growing up. And they'd take me to verses like Romans 6:23 that says the wages of sin is death. What's a wage? Wage is something you earn. So what do we earn because of our sins and because of our, you know, our junk and selfishness before God? We earn death, which means separation from him. You know, that our God is a perfect God and we're not. And for him to maintain his perfection and his justice, he cannot allow injustice to happen, and there must be eradication of all sin and injustice, which includes us. And that was like, oh crud, right? But the beautiful thing about our God is that next piece in that verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift. And so that he made it possible through his sacrificial death, that he paid the penalty for me, and that he died for me, and God crushed him so he doesn't have to crush me, and that he rose from the dead so I can have eternal life. And I don't know about you, but I thought, all right, I would love to receive this free gift of eternal life. And it wasn't at that moment that I got baptized, though. It was a kind of a parachurch ministry, Young Life. And so what they did, I guess, is they just kind of let baptism be up to you and your parents and whatever your local church and whatnot. So I just went home and went back and went on my way. And then in college, I just started really thinking about baptism and wondering whether I should get baptized. And I was kind of wanting to and just kind of exploring a little bit. And so I was going to a Baptist church at that time. And so I started talking to, you know, the Baptist minister about it. And he's a great guy. But, you know, he's telling me and just say, hey, Tyler, you know, baptism is not what saves you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. And he'd take me to Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and John 3, 16. He said, if you want to get baptized again, I mean, that's great, but you don't need to. You don't have to. And so I talked to some other people and it's kind of the same thing that I got. And so I didn't get baptized. And then I was actually in seminary. So I was in seminary and I just still felt like this desire to just want to get baptized. And so, and also it just kind of dawned on me. It's like, you know what? If God gave us baptism, I would really love to experience that. I don't remember that. I was probably sprinkled anyways. And of course, I was just too young to know anything. And I would just love to know what that would be like to experience that baptism. So I went to our pastor and I said, hey, I want to get baptized. And which is kind of weird when you're in seminary, you know, to have that. It's kind of humbling. But I wanted to experience that anyways. And so so when I got baptized, it's like when I came out of that water, it was like, oh, wow, that's why he wants us to get baptized. I totally get it now. There's something about it when you learn the theology and you read your Bible, but there's another thing to just experience it. Here I am, I'm in my sin, you know, I'm in my junk and all of that stuff, and now in Christ, I'm buried. That stuff, that junk, that sin in my life is buried. And then I am raised out of that water, cleansed of my sins, and also new life. It's like being resurrected from the dead. And experiencing that was really, really pivotal to me. But later on, probably not even that long ago, I began to really kind of think back about my baptism and my salvation and all of that. And I began to realize that there's something not quite there and not quite right in my understanding of baptism. Because when I look back at that, it was very self-centered. You know, it was about me. It's like, I don't want to be saved. I mean, yeah, I don't want the alternative. I don't want to be separated from God for all eternity and go to hell. I want to be saved. That'd be great. And then even baptism. You know, baptism is just the confirmation and just the realization of what God did for me. And I was grateful for that. But I've since realized that there's a really big missing component to what baptism is all about. Now, baptism really is and needs to be equated to marriage. And that's exactly what God desired for us to experience in baptism. A lot of times, you know, I think I've gone around for years thinking kind of more like baptism is friends with benefits, right? That, you know, I can have this relationship with Jesus Christ, but I can go and love other things. I can go and love other money and my ego and my status and even my kids and my wife. I can put those things first before him. But the more that I've just really, delved into scripture and read is that, you know, Paul talks about Ephesians chapter 5 about how much we see this picture of marriage is this picture of the way that Christ loves us and loves his church. And there's this intimate relationship. And then it's really dawned on me that really what baptism is really about me saying, you know what, I got all these other lovers in my life, God. I got my job is my love and the significance and meaning I get from that. Pleasure, money, the things that stuff of this world, those are the things, those are my lovers. And really, I think what baptism is really saying to God, if we're doing it biblically in the way that he desires, and I think brings honor and shows love to him, is like more like a wedding ceremony where we go, you know, I've had those lovers before. They've been in my life, but today I'm making the decision that they're no longer my lovers. You know, money is not my lover anymore. My job, my significance, my titles, my pleasure, the people in my life aren't even my lovers anymore. Jesus Christ, you're where my heart is, my affection. So it's almost really more like, you know what, I'm putting to death, you know, emotionally, mentally, if you will, and spiritually, those lovers, and I'm dying to those lovers. And now I'm raising to a new life and a new relationship by which I say I do. If I were to go back and do it over again, I would probably go back into the understanding of death, burial, resurrection, sin, forgiveness, raised to new life, eternal life. But also, I think I would have gone back into it a lot more mature in going, you know, this is truly about dying to those lovers, this world, the things of this world, and just saying I do to Jesus Christ. What about you?
Well, mine was somewhat similar in that, you know, I was saved really early on. My parents are missionaries, so, you know, just kind of it came about, and it was our life. You know, we were in it, and so I was like, yeah, you know, I want to do this. But it was a lot more about just, at the time, you know, this is what my family's doing, so I'm just going to do that, you know. And then once we got back into the States, at the church we were going to, there was a moment where they kind of had, you know, the opportunity to be, you know, baptized for the kids specifically. But it was really more of just like a lineup, dunk, lineup, dunk, lineup. And there wasn't really a lot around it, you know. The pastor did not go into all the things that you just said. You know, I don't know that my 7-ish-year-old brain could have handled that anyways, but, you know, he didn't go into all that. So for me, it happened, but it's this really vague, you know, moment for me, because I didn't really have an understanding or the capacity to fully understand at, you know, 7 or what, somewhere around there. I don't even remember my age really, you know. So it's one of those things where for me, you know, as I've looked back a lot, like what Tyler's been describing here, I've looked back on myself and gone, man, like, I don't know that I really had that defining moment. I mean, I did this act, but what did that really mean? What did that really do for me? You know, I didn't get anything from it necessarily. And so for me, honestly, I've really been praying a lot lately myself. Just, is this something that I do again? Because now I've really delved in a lot of the similar ways that you've described. And I'm discovering and remembering how I'm a part of the church, and the church is that bridegroom to Jesus being the groom, and really understanding all of that kind of stuff and saying, I really want to have more of that defining moment that I can say, God, I'm, you know, I know that in my heart that is the case, but to really say in front of my wife and in front of, you know, our body and in front of my kids even, as, you know, just to say, you know, this is where I want my life to be and where I want my heart to be, you know. So for me, that's really, it's been an interesting little while lately as we've kind of, you know, been talking about this and delving into it, because, you know, I'm like, I mean, it happened, but it's almost like, did it really? Because I just did not have the understanding. And so, and which I think is a huge, as you said, you know, kind of important component to it.
Yeah. And so we wanted to share our story because we know that in here, there's those of you who are just all different types, like we talk about with baptism, all different types of history, all different types of, you know, places of where you're at. We want to encourage some of you guys who maybe have never even been baptized before, and maybe you've even thought about it. But one of the things we wanted to help you with is just to understand that it's not a religious act. It is an act of the heart that just really says, you know, I do, and I want to live the rest of my life with you. You know, till death do us part, which is kind of funny because death doesn't part us because we get to be together forever. And guys, that's the beautiful thing. Sometimes we think that the best thing in the world is salvation. Salvation is not the best thing in the world. The best thing in the world is Jesus Christ, that you get to have a relationship with him forever. And so baptism is just at that place of not just recognizing that, okay, I get to live forever. It is truly the recognition of saying to our God, I do. I really do love you, and I really do want to live my life for you. And so before all these other people, I want to make that public proclamation that I do. And I want to do it in front of my friends and family so that they can continue to encourage me, just like, you know, I usually do when I go to a wedding. I encourage people that are at the wedding. I'll bring in the people who are there to say, hey, will you help this couple to continue to love each other the way that they want to be, you know, want to love each other. Baptism is the same way. We do it publicly because we do it so that way we say to, you know, to the person who's getting baptized, hey, we're here to help you to continue on in this journey. And the person who's getting baptized does it publicly in order to say, hey, guys, you're my friends. Keep this fire lit with me, all right? And do this thing with me. Now, we've had some questions before, multiple times, where people have talked about, you know, I got baptized when I was an infant, or I got baptized, you know, a little bit later on, you know, when I was 6 or 7, and I gave my life to Christ back when I was 6 or 7, and, you know, can I, but I really feel like, I really do want to say I do to Jesus Christ in the way that I just explained it relationally, and one of the things I would say to that is there's nothing biblical about being baptized again. Being baptized once is fine, it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, but we also recognize that sometimes, you know, even in marriages, your marriage might turn a left or turn a right, and you bring back some reconciliation, and you want to renew your vows. And so sometimes, you know, people get baptized again, not because they're getting saved again, you know. Scripture says that even when we are faithless, he is faithful. And when we say I do to him, he never divorces us, never leaves us, never forsakes us. But there may be a time where you just might feel, hey, you know, I've been kind of not very faithful in this relationship. My eyes have been wandering to other things, and so God, I want to come back to you, and I want to make you the number one point in relationship in my life. And if that's you, then that's great as well. We would love to talk to you about that. But I also want to discuss a little bit, as we have some time here, I want to talk about you guys who have kids, and your kids want to have the DTR when it comes to Jesus Christ and it comes to baptism. And so for those of them that are just having those questions, what would you say to them, Justin?
Well, you know, I think it's so such an awesome opportunity when your kids are coming to you and really, like, what a blessing, you know, that they're interested in this and they want to learn more about it or you know, even you know, go through with doing it. And so we're really excited in River Kids because we are moving on with a baptism experience for kids called We Believe. And we had an orientation for our first one a couple weeks ago. We had over 10 kids sign up to be baptized, which we're super excited about. But what we're really wanting to do with this experience is say, you know what, we know that those things have happened with some of these other kids, or even my personal story, you know, that I shared. And so what we want to do is we want to take a very intentional and purposeful approach to baptism, to the faith discussion, to salvation with these kids and with these families. We want to partner with you guys in really having those discussions for your kids. In a really natural way, not a way where you feel like you have to sit them down, for some of them maybe strap them in, and lecture them on what this means, you know, because you're going to lose them within 30 seconds. You know, we really want it to be that natural conversation that you can have with your kids, and we want to be able to help you with that and give you the tools that can help you in those kinds of ways, and even just sit down and talk with you guys about it. We would be happy to do so. The goal is to actually offer, We Believe, 2 or 3 times a year, just kind of depending on, you know, who's ready and those kinds of things. And so, and even if you don't go through with it, that one time that We Believe is happening, you've got the tools. There's a booklet, there's an audio CD that comes and walks parents through all of this and having this discussion with their kids. And out of that discussion, the kids actually write their own baptism stories that are read when we baptize them. And it's an absolutely incredible experience. We hold stories in super high regard, even if they are a little younger. It matters, because all stories matter to God. And so we really are so excited about it. And if it comes to it, the story's kind of muddy and it's not clear, that's okay. You know, there's no rush. We want them to really understand it so they can have that moment when they really feel like they defined the relationship and it wasn't this muddy thing of what does it mean or what did it mean, and 20 years later they're like, I have no idea. I didn't take that moment. You know, and really pushing in on them. We break down John 3:16. We talk about, you know, Jesus got baptized. And he wasn't doing it because he had sinned, obviously, but it was that representation for us to do it as well. And it was really when he was starting his ministry, you know, it was a chance for him to say, I'm starting this ministry, I'm going off. And it was a chance for God to say, this is my son who I'm well pleased with, and kind of really announcing him as being there. And so in a way, we're doing kind of that similar thing in front of friends and family. We want to provide that opportunity, that moment with you and your kids. So if that's something that you guys are interested in, we're rocking and rolling with this current, we believe, that's going to happen on Blue Day. But we're going to have another one in the fall coming up. We'll get those dates out pretty soon. And so feel free to come talk to me or any of the staff in River Kids. We'd be happy to talk with you. But we're really excited about just what it's going to, I think what it really is going to mean for a lot of you guys and your kids.
Yeah, you said something that I thought was really good is, you know, as parents, we can't push our kids to an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, a lot of times if we try to push them, we'll push them into an inauthentic relationship. But that doesn't mean we don't dialogue and we don't tell a man, you know what, you know, Jesus is that relationship is the best relationship you can ever have, and to continue to encourage them. Just like if, you know, your son or daughter is dating a boy or girl, whatever, and you really like them, you know, you can't push them into marriage. You can kind of encourage them and kind of help them through that, but they need to make that decision themselves. And in fact, when children or adults make that decision for themselves, that's where it's at. You know, the last thing you want to do too is you don't want to push anybody into a wedding, a marriage when they're not ready for it. That could just end in disaster, you know. And so what we do and what we want to do is we're not pushing anybody. All we do here at our church is to tell you that, man, Jesus Christ is the best person who's ever lived to hook your wagon to. And we believe that if you hook your wagon to him, he'll change your life, and it will just be absolutely amazing. But we also know that we can't make you. If we try to manipulate you or any of that stuff into a false relationship, that doesn't do anybody any good. It has to come from the desire and that heart from you. For those of you guys who are in here and maybe you don't have kids and you've settled the whole baptism thing, going off a little bit what Justin is saying here is it's important to tell your stories. If you have kids, do your kids know your story? Do they know your salvation story and your baptism story? Have you ever told them that? Have you ever told your story to family members or neighbors or things like that? You'll be amazed. If you're in a neighborhood group, have you told your neighborhood group your story? These stories are powerful. They encourage us. They help us to realize we're all in this together. It encourages other people who are kind of go, you know what, that's kind of me too. And to have dialogue and help people along in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And like he said, stories matter because stories are some of the most powerful things that God uses to move us. And so as we just kind of finish up our time here, I want to encourage you guys, keep praying for our service that we're going to have on July 23rd, 2 weeks from now. We call it Blue Day, just to encourage you guys just to go wear out blue and just support and to encourage and have fun and celebrate the people who are saying I do to Jesus Christ in that. And if God's been nudging your heart and you want to explore more of this relationship with Jesus Christ or want to get baptized, right after our last song, we're going to get together. Justin and I are going to be down here, and we would love to be able to talk to you about that. If you have any other questions about baptism or questions about God and you're confused and you would love to a little DTR, a little clarity about that relationship with him, we would love to talk to you as well. And if you have any questions about your kids or how to have that conversation, and maybe there's something detailed that we didn't address or Justin didn't address, he'd love to talk to you about it as well afterwards. If you just hate coming up and talking to strangers and you've never met us before and that's just kind of weird for you, just encourage you guys just to take out the connection card, fill that out, put it in the box, and we'll connect with you on your terms and your way just to be able to help you along in journey, because that's really what we're all about. We're just here for you guys because we love you very much. Hey, why don't you pray for us?
Awesome. God, we thank you so much for your son and the relationship that we get to have with him. We thank you for what he meant so that we can be back in relationship with you and in your family. And God, today we just I just really want to pray over each person in here, and there's so many stories, God, in here, and they all matter to you. And so I just really pray that you would work in the hearts of each one of us here, that if this is something that we're looking to define the relationship, that we're looking, that there's this time that we need to have to draw closer to you, that God, you would push us in that and that we would feel that from you. We are so thankful that we get this opportunity, that we get this free gift from you. Help us to know and realize what it means to have that relationship with you. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.